everybody. Welcome.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Sunday Morning Adult Discussion Group. Boy, it just rolls off my tongue now, doesn't it? Here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love our Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
And He loves us right back. Mike, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name.
Yes,
Father. Keep our ears and our minds open to what we're going to talk about today, and just lead us through what it is that you're trying to show us through it. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Well, it seems as though we've arrived yet last week in Matthew chapter 11, moving right along. I don't think we'll get to Revelation by the end of the year at the rate we're going, but we might get through Matthew. It's a pretty long book. We got through, I think we went through verse 10, to where we actually discussed a couple of the verses or things that interested us in it. But I think that we could maybe start at Matthew 10, because it tells about the messenger that was sent before to say, you know, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I would really wanted to talk a little bit, not me talk a little bit, but us talk a little bit about Matthew 11:11. So let's start at Matthew 10 today and go down to the 19th, okay, verse, and then we'll go back and start at verse 10 and discuss. So whose turn is it to read today?
Mine.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry, buddy.
Can I say something before you start?
Sure, yeah.
My phone call was from East Palestine.
Ohio?
I don't know. I didn't.
I'm sure.
Don't tell me they've got another derailment.
Maybe
there.
Jesus was calling from over
there. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Stay on track, today, son.
Anyway, sorry.
Cute.
Praise the Lord. So I'm reading Matthew 11, starting with verse 10 through 19. This is the one of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who shall make ready your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. For all the prophets and the law prophesied up until John. And if you're willing to receive and accept it, John himself is Elijah who has come before the kingdom. And he who has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by ear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like little children sitting in the marketplaces, who shall call to their playmates, we piped to you, playing wedding, and you did not dance. We wailed dirges, playing funeral, and you did not mourn, and beat your breast and weep aloud. For John came neither eating nor drinking with others. And they say he has a demon. Now the Son of Man came eating and drinking with others, And they say, behold, a glutton and a wine drinker and a friend of tax collectors, and I, especially wicked sinners, yet wisdom is justified and vindicated by what she does, her deeds, and by their children. Her children, sorry. See, going back to 10 or 11.
Yeah. I, down there where it talks about, I've been piping to you and you wouldn't dance, and I want to read that out of the Passion Bible, because somehow it kind of made me understand a little bit about what they were talking about there, how to kind of understand it. Okay, this is verse 16. Don't you understand? How could I describe the people of this generation? You're like children playing games on the playground, yelling at their playmates. You don't like it when we want to play wedding. And you don't like it when we want to play funeral. You neither dance nor mourn. Why is it that when John came to you, neither feasting nor drinking, in other words, neither playing wedding or funeral, you said he has a demon in him? Yet, when the Son of Man came and he went to feasts and he drank wine, you said, look at this man. He is nothing but a glutton and a drunkard. He spends all his time with tax collectors and other affluent sinners. But God's wisdom will be visibly seen living in those who embrace it. God's wisdom will be seen in those who embrace wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's what I was. That kind of made that whole little portion of scripture got lost in me. And I thought that cleared it up pretty well. Anybody have anything they want to jump in and start with? Well, let's go back then to 10 and 11, because I thought that was really interesting. In the King James, it says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. It'll tell you the way that you should go. Do you know where that scripture is?
What is this?
The scripture that says, there will one come that will prepare thy way before me.
I think it's in Isaiah somewhere. I don't know exactly.
Mine doesn't even go, but it doesn't.
It doesn't have a reference in this, but let me, I can.
I have a reference in there.
Okay.
What's it say? Malachi chapter 3, verse 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. That does say.
Maybe that's what you want.
That's probably it, yeah.
They have it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, or Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17 and 76.
Let's see here, man.
What's it say? Read it to Malachi 3.
It says in Malachi, it says, let's read it. Yeah, let's see. Go to the Old Testament.
Malachi.
You already got it, buddy.
Six. Yes.
Buddy, you already got it.
Let me read what I have.
Sure. Why not?
Behold, I sent my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger or angel of the covenant, whom you desire. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts.
But even if you read the rest of it, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears?
Mm-hmm.
For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap.
Oh, yes.
Remember what John the Baptist said when they were baptizing Jesus? He said, there stands one among you who shoe latch I'm not worthy to unloose. And he said, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what?
Fire.
Fire. There's your refiner's fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it said he'll thoroughly purge his flour.
Mm.
You know.
Yes.
Well, he's takes that winnowing fork like we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And throws it up in the air and lets the wind blow through it. Well, the wind is always a type of God, because
mm-hmm.
God is like a wind. He's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really why people said, no man has seen God at any time. Well, you couldn't see God at any time because God was spirit. He was like the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you see the results of the wind, but you don't see the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if the wind's not blowing, you don't look out there and say, well, yeah, there's the wind, you know. You know, but, you know, and that sitting as a refiner's fire and like, you know, and he'll thoroughly, refiner's fire and a purifier of silver. And silver is redemption, you know, for and he shall thoroughly purge the sons of Levi. And the name Levi literally means joined.
Mm-hmm.
And what? Who's he purging? Those that are joined to the Lord, you know. And as gold and silver that he may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. I will come near to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, so on and so forth, stranger. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away. And we know what Jacob was, the heel catcher, the supplanter, the deceiver. And that is literally, when it talks about Jacob in scriptures, it's talking about our old nature. Because our old nature was, I want to be first. When you was a little kid and it was time to go in from time to go in from you know, recess or something like that, a lot of times you'd run as hard as you could, so you'd be what?
First
in line, you know. And we have that inner relationship that we all want to be first. We want to be number one.
In the lunch line. Especially.
In the lunch line and all everything, you know, we want to be first.
Mm-hmm.
People will try to even cut line to get up farther in the line, you know what I mean? But when we realize that, when you talk about Jacob, that's what he's talking about, that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But the neat thing about it was, God knew all along that Jacob was going to be changed into Israel. He shall rule as God, you know. And until that nature began to change in him, you know, and it changes in us, you know, because we become the Israel of God. They are not all Israel which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. I'm not going to preach a sermon, but anyway, it's all in the scriptures. I mean, it explains itself when you really see it, you know. But, you know.
What did you read down to?
19 we read down to.
No, I'm talking about him.
Oh.
Oh, in
Malachi.
In Malachi? Well, let me go back
a
minute here.
I got it. It was.
I read down to.
At the Judah.
Yeah.
So until the 4, verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah, isn't that mean praise?
Mm-hmm.
The offering of praise in Jerusalem, teaching peace,
mm-hmm.
be The offering of praise and teaching peace will be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years.
And, you know, really probably should read that whole chapter because it's great.
Yes, as it goes over, it says, I'm going to draw you near to judgment and to, the whole chapter goes to 18.
Yeah. I can read it out of King James if you want.
Yeah, I like it.
It says, even from the days of your fathers, this is verse 7, have you gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them? Mm-hmm. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you saith, shall we return? I will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You have cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Therewith saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not open that I will if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes,
hallelujah,
and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that you have kept this ordinance, that you have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Mm-hmm. And now we call the proud happy, and they that work wickedness are set up. And you know, we know what it says about the proud. He resists what? The proud, and gives grace unto the humble. So when you start finding yourself getting proud about something, expect to get humbled. Because, you know, it says, and you work wickedness and are set up, and they tempt God, are even delivered. The book of remembrance. When they feared the Lord, spake unto one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before them, for them that feared the Lord, and thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord. What did he say about they that keep their mind stayed on thee? What will he do?
He'll
keep you in perfect peace. And the Lord of hosts in that day when makes up my jewels, and guess what? You're the jewels of the Lord, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not.
That's when he says my jewels in here, it says my special possession.
Yeah.
My peculiar treasure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's just think about the high priest. What did the high priest have on his chest?
Jewelry.
The 12 stones, the 12 jewels. And that is governmental perfection. 12 is a number for governmental perfection. And, you know, how are jewels formed?
Pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Extreme pressure, usually. Very extreme pressure. Mm-hmm. And, so when pressure presses into our lives, I know it's not fun when it happens and we think, oh my God, can anything else happen? Can anything else go wrong? But you know what? That's when he's pressing and he's turning you into them jewels. Mm-hmm. He's working on you if you'll just acknowledge him in the middle of it. And sometimes even if you don't acknowledge him in the middle of it, he's still going to continue doing it, whether you acknowledge him or not. Because he'll have mercy on you even though you haven't come to understand what he wants you to understand. I tried to learn a long time ago, and I don't say I always do it, but I try to, that whenever I find myself in positions of extreme pressure and being pressed by things around me, because he uses things around you to press you, that I say to the Lord sometimes, I say, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this? Because as soon as you say that, and he lets you know what he's trying to show you, then the pressure don't need to be there anymore, you know, because it's accomplished its purpose. So anytime we're going through anything, if we just say to the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this situation? A lot of times he'll show you. I mean, you know, he'll tell you what it is. And but anyway, that's the, you know, that's a beautiful scripture there, because I love the book of Malachi, because it talks about him suddenly coming to his temple. Who shall abide the day of his coming, you know? Well, he comes as that refiner's fire and that fuller's soap, you know. I forgot to bring you that thing, Kathy.
Was that the Lake of Forgiveness?
Lake of Fire.
Yeah. I have that. I read it.
Yeah, I gave it to you. I gave it to you. I thought.
I read it the other day. Okay, yeah. Actually, I had two of them, and I've read it before.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything about what you were talking about in there.
Okay. Well, it's there.
Yeah.
I'll have to show it to you sometime, yeah. You know.
Sometimes our eyes are open, but we don't see.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that it talks about sulfur there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the brimstone is another word for sulfur, you know. And sulfur used to be used as medicine in its day. Sulfur was used, that they would burn sulfur and it was supposed to kill the germs and all that kind of stuff. And another word for that is the word theos, the actual definition of that stuff. And the word theos is the word for God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what, I will try to speak on that again, and maybe I can bring it out to where you guys can understand it,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little better. Maybe I didn't do a very good job when I brought it out before. I don't know. But
it was good.
And let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
I can tell you some of the things in it if you want me to expound on it a little bit. We'll be getting away from this just a little bit.
Go.
Okay. When it talks about lake, first of all, the word lake means nearness to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if something's nearness to shore, it's nearness for you to maybe almost walk out of it. You understand what I'm saying? Like if you're in the lake and then you're near to the shore,
mm-hmm.
you can walk up out of the lake anytime that you so choose to do.
Yeah, Mike learned that the other day.
Yeah, when you fell in the lake, you just got up and walked out, didn't you?
Yeah.
he did, yeah.
If you're in the middle of the ocean, you got...
Yeah, if you're way out in the deep
right.
part, you ain't going to walk
lake,
out of it.
You can just stand up and walk out.
Okay, well, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And then and literally what I tried to do in talking about fire.
Mm-hmm.
Fire is not bad. Fire is good. Fire, even in the natural, when something burns, if you take a piece of wood out there and you burn it, you don't really destroy the wood. What you do is you release everything that's inside of it. You release the water, you release the gases, and it burns down to a place of carbon. Okay, and even in the natural, if you was to probably talk to some scientist or something, they would tell you that carbon is one of the most purest states of something. And do you realize what a diamond is? A diamond is carbon. It's carbon that's been put under extreme pressure, and that extreme pressure turns it into a diamond, you know. And they're getting to the point where they can make commercial diamonds, you know. But the other type are made by, well, by God, I'd say, because he created everything, so he's the one who makes them. But they're getting where they can make false gemstones, because they've learned have ways of putting extreme pressure on stuff and turning it into whatever they need to turn it into. They've never been able to make gold, and they'll never be able to make gold, because from what I've found out, gold is not natural to this planet. Gold came from the heavens, okay? And that's why gold is even a type of the divine nature of God, you know. But anyway, getting back to that whole situation, and I can tell you some of it because I'd almost have to get my notes to really, really expound on it much. But what does God say his ministers are?
Flames.
A flame of what?
Fire.
Mm-hmm. So if all of his ministers are a flame of fire, and he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire, and hell and death, we always thought, well, hell's eternal. Well, no, it's not. Death is eternal. No, it's not. What does it say in Revelations? Hell and death were what? Cast into the lake of fire. Okay. Who is this lake of fire?
God.
Well, it's you. You and God.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because our God is a consuming fire. And if he makes his ministers a flame of fire, then you are the fire too, see? Mm-hmm. And when somebody speaks the word of God, even from the pulpit or talks to you or witnesses to you or whatever, what is that supposed to do? Every man's works will be tried, as it were, by what?
By fire.
By fire. Okay. Well, if your works are tried by fire, what does the fire do? The definition of that portion of scripture, it says, every man's works will be tried, as it were, by fire, and only the precious will remain. The wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned up. Well, what's wood, hay, and stubble? That's something that is temporal. If you leave wood lay around long enough, it will decompose itself. So will hay, and so will stubble. Any of those things, they're temporal, they're temporary. And God is eternal. So, and what does it say about the rest of that? And it says, I can't quote it exactly, but it basically what it's saying there in that portion of scripture, I think that's back in Corinthians, but what it's basically saying in that portion of scripture, it's saying every man's work will be tried, as it were, by fire. The wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned up. But it says the person will be saved.
Yes.
Okay. So if everything is cast into the lake of fire, you know, and that word fire there, like I told you, it has them, and the sulfur and all that has the meaning of theos, of God. They're going to be cast into God. And what's he going to do? And you're a part of that because you're his body. He makes his ministers a what? Flame of fire. So you're part of the fire. So the fullness of God in you and the Spirit of God that's maybe not inside of you. I don't know. I can't explain that part of it. But anyway, that fire is going to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and only the precious will remain. Well, what is the precious? What's precious in you?
Him.
And only him. He's all that's going to remain. Mm-hmm. And remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're getting into some pretty deep stuff here, but what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about that there's coming a time when everything is going to be turned back over to God, see? And it will be God all, and where at?
In all.
In all. Okay.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you know.
Even so, Lord.
Those are heavy things that,
yes,
unless the Spirit of God reveals them to you,
yes,
and lets you understand it, it sounds foolish, but it's not foolish, mm-hmm, because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, a lot of this stuff.
And I believe that's how God can actually, that every knee shall bow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we see, mm-hmm, there's the temporal that's, mm-hmm, in us.
Right.
And we see sometimes, well, even in Malachi, went back to chapter 2, mm-hmm, the tail end of it, it says, you call evil good, and you call good evil. We're not perceiving correctly.
Right.
There is evil and good.
Well, and what did they partake of,
yeah,
in Genesis? What did they partake of?
The knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Yes.
And that's where we're making that determination. Ah, oh, this is good. Ah, this is evil. Ah, this is good. Ah, this is evil. And what did Jesus say when they came to him and they said, good master? He said, why do you call me good? What did he say?
None's good.
There's none good but God. That's the only good there is, you know? I mean, you know.
And this whole creation is part of that good. Whether we perceive it yet or not.
He created it. He created it. And you know, we don't really understand sometimes the fullness of what, how much God has been in control of everything. Because even what he said to Jeremiah, you know, when he came and he spoke to Jeremiah, you know, he told him, he said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. What does that mean? That means that Jeremiah was a part of God before he was in his mother's womb. He already knew him. And that word, I'm pretty sure that, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that name, I knew you, probably is the word that, like, is an intimate knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say, you know, like, you know,
a oneness.
Yeah, some husband knew his wife and she conceived and buried his son or whatever, you know. I'm sure it's probably that. I don't know. We'd have to look that up. But when he says, I knew you, you know, before you were even in your mother's womb, and called you to be a prophet unto the nations. And what's Jeremiah's reply? Lord, I'm but a child. How can I do this? And I'm going to tell you what, anytime God speaks to your heart about moving in him, you're not going to be saying, well, yes, bless God, I knew it was me, I was the one. You're going to back up and say, oh, my God, you sure you got the right guy? You know, that's the way you feel. Are you really sure you got the right guy? When God started giving me definitions of things and had me look into things years ago, I thought, Lord, I'm just barely adequate at a lot of things in English. And here you're having me go into Greek and Hebrew and all this kind of stuff. It makes me laugh now, and I thought, Lord, surely you would want to choose some big college guy or somebody that really knew, understood English and all this kind of stuff. And he does choose some people like that, I'm saying, you know, and there is some people that are very versed in that, and I'm not, and I mean, I'm doing good if I can function in English, you know, because I destroy it half the time when I'm talking. But, you know, the neat thing about it is he knows. And it doesn't depend on your strength. It doesn't depend on your abilities. It doesn't depend on you other than you being obedient to whatever he's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. That's what it depends on.
That makes me think of his brother, James, because he was very intelligent, very mm-hmm. smart. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to him, it was intellect, you know. But when he had, it makes me want to cry. Mm-hmm. Experience with God. Mm-hmm. And me and Betty would talk to him. He was so humble mm-hmm. and so hungry and so thankful for the things that God was even saying. Oh yeah, I knew that. I read that and thought it was not mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. It was, he was so thankful for the things that God was revealing to him. Mm-hmm. We would pray with him. All. It was just,
well, you know, that reminds me of that old track where there was a track at one time, you know, that people passed out, and then this old track, two people got up and read the 23rd Psalm, mm-hmm. and the one guy read it, and he was just impeccable with his English and just pronounced everything perfectly and all this stuff, and the people clapped, you know, when he got done, and then this old man got up, and he did it, and he kind of murdered the English and stuff.
Yeah, but
but they said there was not a dry eye mm-hmm. in the place when he got done, and they said the difference was is that one man knew the 23rd Psalm, the other man knew the inspirer of the 20. You know, he knew
yes.
God. You know, basically mm-hmm. what I was saying, and that's the thing. See, and that's what the world needs out there. They don't need. They don't need 100 people from seminary. They don't need all of that. You know, Brother Eddie said to me one time, he said, you know, Oscar, he said, how do you know some of the things you know? And I'm not saying this to lift me up in any way, but he said, how do you know some of the things you know? And I said, well, Brother Eddie, I said, the Lord reveals things to me as I'm, you know, he gets me studying something and then he reveals things to me. And he said, you know, he said, I took Greek and all that stuff when I was in college. And he said, how do you, you know, how do you know some of these things? And you know, I told him, I said, there's so much available today. And there literally is. There is so much available today that anyone who really is seeking the Lord and seeking the answers to things,
yes,
it's just out there. And it's so easy, and it's really simple. And I had a couple of guys come to me one time and they said, Oscar, can you teach us how to study? How do you study? And I told them, I've told you this before, mm-hmm, but I told them, I said, when I look at scriptures, I mentally ask questions. Who, what, why, where, and how does this apply to me? You know, and it always is talking about you and your relationship to God. Every one of these stories is, if God opens it up to you, it's not just some cute story or something. He's talking to you. And you know, this whole Bible is a love letter to his people.
Yes.
And it's written in such a way that the most intelligent people out there can read it and they'll never see it.
No. Mm-hmm.
They'll never see it. Unless God touches their, yes, their heart and they begin to see it in the spirit. And it's not something that you can go around puffing your chest out with, bless God, I know this. It's something where it's a humiliating thing to you, a humbling thing, I'll put it like that. It's a humbling thing. It humbles you because it don't have hardly anything to do with you other than the fact that he decides to reveal something to you, you know. And that's why a lot of times people who have a real deeper word, I've listened to some of them sometimes, and man, they get puffed up. And I'm telling you, you can't get too puffed up. You get puffed up, God will unpuff you. He knows how to unpuff you real fast, you know. And but
that gave me a visual picture right there, just for a second.
Yeah.
Because I bake bread. You know, when your bread rises and they say, well, you got to punch it down.
Yeah.
You got to punch it down.
Well, let me ask you a question. What made it rise?
Yeast.
And you know what yeast is?
Leaven.
It's leaven, but you know what leaven is. You know what yeast is? Yeast is something unclean. It's something,
yes,
that's not valuable. They that's like those little cakes or pies, you are not pies, but actually cakes, I guess it was, you guys used to make, where you keep that formula and you pass it on to the next person and all that.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff was fermented. It was
spoiled.
If you was to just take and drink some of that or eat some of that without putting it in that bread, it'd be horrible.
Yeah,
it'd be horrible.
Yeah,
the yeast is in the flour. And yeast is, that's like when he said to the Pharisees about them having the unleavened teachings of the Pharisees. Well, it didn't have the bread in it. You know, it didn't have the thing that will make it be bread. And that's why when he did the Passover, what did he do? He had them eat unleavened bread. It didn't have any kind of yeast in it. So it didn't have any kind of anything that would make it dirty or impure or whatever. And that's why it was so flat and it didn't have no taste, probably, hardly at all, mm-hmm, you know. But Jesus was the bread that came down from heaven.
Yes.
He didn't have any of that in him because he was that bread, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I just get amazed sometimes, yes, at the word. And even when you read these scriptures, there's so many things that as he starts opening your eyes, you can see in these things that just doesn't even appear right there on the surface, but it's there, you know. Well, anyway, Kathy, I'll probably speak, I'll try to speak on that again, on that, you know, on that lake of fire, because it's not exactly what people think it is.
Right.
Hell and death are going to be cast into that, though.
Yes.
And if it is a purifying thing, what will it eliminate? What is the word that everybody The actual word for hell is about three or four different words in Scripture, and usually it means the grave. That's what it really means most of the time. It means the grave. And if the grave is going to be tossed in there, and death is going to be tossed in there, then what's going to happen? Is there going to be no more grave? No more death?
That's right.
That's what he came. Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, I just know a little bit of stuff. There's a lot of things I don't know. I mean, but God knows, and he's starting to open things up more and more to people. And,
you know, sometimes the lake of fire, brimstone, will that to scare people sometimes?
It does scare people, yeah.
Yeah. But
well, it does, because they don't understand.
They don't understand it, yeah.
That's right. They don't understand it. And, you know, let me read you this one more scripture, and then I'll get out of this, quit talking to you about this stuff. I hope I'm not messing up the Sunday school class. In verse 9, it says this. Okay.
What are you reading?
This is out of Isaiah chapter 28, and I spoke on this a couple weeks ago. It says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" We all want knowledge. "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" We want to understand the true doctrine of God, not the doctrine of men. "Them that are weaned from the milk." And milk is necessary until you grow to a certain point. Now, you can feed a baby milk, and boy, they'll grow by leaps and bounds. But if you're feeding a grown child just milk, they're going to be 1 week individual. Because milk will not sustain them, just milk by itself. You need other things as your body grows to a certain point. "But whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast," taken away from the breast, "for precept must be upon precept, upon precept, upon precept, upon," and it says, "line upon line upon line, line up here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom saith, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest.
Yes.
And this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear." And that's why we need to tell the Lord, "Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit is really saying to me." You know, "but the word of the Lord unto them was precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little." Why? "That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with what?
Death.
With death. And with what? Hell. Are we in agreement? When the overflowing sword shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. It says, judgment also will I lay at the line, and righteousness to the pummelet. And that pummelet is literally a word for a plumb bob. And you hold a plumb bob up, and it's going to point straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I don't care if you're standing on a crooked hill, it points straight down. It always does. That's why builders use them when they're building something, you know. And it says, and your covenant with death shall be, well, let's finish up here. It says, judgment will I lay at the line, and righteousness to the pummelet, and hail shall wipe away the refuge of lies. What is hail? Hail is hard water. I'm telling you what, the hard word has to come out. And what the hard word will do, it'll wipe away the lies.
Yes.
And you know, what did they say to Jesus when he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you? They said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive this? Mm-hmm. Well, you better receive it, because it's the word of the Lord. You know, it's the word of the Lord. It's hard word. It's the hard water of the word. And she'll wipe away, and hail shall wipe away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding places.
Yes.
People are hiding in their doctrines, their little 15 things that they got hanging on the wall in the church and all those things. But you know what? The water of the word of God is going to overflow their hiding place. They're not going to be able to hide from it as his word really comes forth. And your covenant with death shall what? Be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall what? Not stand. And then when the overflowing scourge has passed through, then shall be trodden down, that you shall be trodden down by it. And when you're trodden down, when you trod something down, you bring it down on the earth. I mean, you bring it down where it's laying down. You're trodden it down, you know. And you know what? They're high and mighty things that they're out there saying. And we had a, when I was with Clyde, they had a minister a lady minister came in, and she, you know, I was over at the hospital with Clyde, and she asked him, could she pray with him? And he said, well, yeah, you know, Clyde, he's going to tell you, yeah, anytime you say something about prayer, he's going to say, yeah. And she said, yeah. And she says, well, you know, she says, we live in perilous times. And she says, I don't know if you believe in the rapture. She says, well, I'm saying, come soon, Lord, come soon, Lord. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything. I just sat there and I thought, okay. And you know, that's okay if she's waiting for the rapture. But what she needs to be waiting for is the revelation of Jesus Christ inside of her. That's what she needs to be waiting for. It says, in your covenant of death will be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From that time it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning by morning,
mm-hmm.
shall it pass over by day and by night,
mm-hmm.
and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. If you don't understand the report of the Lord, whose report are we going to believe? His report or the world's report?
Yes.
You know, and we need to start believing his report.
Yes.
And for the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it. You know, people have been real comfortable in their doctrines, their situations, and all that. But guess what? The bed's getting shorter. And as the bed gets shorter, things start hanging over, and all of a sudden you can't really rest in it. And people wonder why and I'm going to put it to you like this, why the old-time religion ain't really good enough. You know, people say, oh, it's good enough for me. Well, no, it's not good enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to move on with what God's got for you.
Yes.
For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Guess what? That word will not cover you. It will not comfort you. It will not keep you warm anymore. Because if you aren't moving on into the things of the Lord, it ain't going to get the job done. You know, you're going to hang out. It's going to be too short. You ever get cold? And I got this one little blanket at home, and it's not very wide, but it's pretty long. And somebody gave it to us. I don't remember who gave it to us. But anyway, I love that blanket because it don't weigh nothing when you lay it on you,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps you warm as can be when you're cold. And yet, if you just slightly move a little bit,
you're out of
that blanket on the sides. Your foot's hanging out, or your arm's hanging out, or something. It just barely covers you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of the things that the church has traditionally taught out there, they're like that blanket. If you slightly move a little bit, then it's not getting a job done, you know. But thank God, he wants to wrap you in himself and wrap you in his love.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. But anyway.
I think it's time, guys.
Yeah. Well,
we'd like to go
you guys,
on forever.
We're gonna have to quit asking me questions about things, because
no, I think you need to let the flow go as God.
Yeah, yeah. You just go with the Lord. That's all you need to do.
Well,
I mean, the questions probably come from the Lord.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
I just don't want to be over.
What you think of those that's listening?
Yeah.
The words going out.
Yeah.
And how you get to explain. Yeah.
I think I understand now already.
Yeah.
The whole lake of fire has to do with that. With the
Waters. Well, if hell and death are going to be cast into it,
yeah,
then doesn't that mean hell and death ain't going to be no more?
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, isn't that like what we just read there in Isaiah?
Yes.
You know, your covenant with hell and death, I'm going to disannul it.
Yes.
Well, how's he going to disannul it? He's going to consume it with the fire of his presence. Mm-hmm. He's going to begin to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble of our understanding, you know, and get us to the point where we understand things like they really are.
Mike, oh, wait a minute. Did you open in prayer? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna ask Buddy to close in prayer.
Thank you for this discussion this morning, Father. We just give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, for helping us to understand your word, Father. Father, we just give you all praise, glory, and honor this day. Father, just continue giving us wisdom through your word.
Yes.
We pray this in all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.